your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Our subject today, the romance of the Lord. Most of us who are defined as Calvinistic in doctrine, and that's what we are, even though we do not like the term, most of us who are defined as Calvinistic in doctrine are accused of the lack of love, as well as being declared as a preacher who does not love the souls of men. This dubious claim, which has been given to us or fastened upon us, is a falsehood, and it smacks absolutely of heresy. We readily agree that there are many so-called Calvinistic preachers who are arrogant, lazy, short-sighted, and have no love of their fellow men. But these are perverted individuals who, for the most part, need a work of regeneration wrought in their hearts. On the other hand, much of that which is passed off for the love of souls is nothing but sentimentalism and hope of gain. The average preacher today is more interested in getting folks on the church roll rather than seeing them come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The vast majority of so-called fundamentalists have fallen hook, line, and sinker for the method of quick decisionism and instant salvation instead of waiting on the Lord to complete the work. We have instant coffee, instant tea, and so-called instant salvation, but I want to say to you very kindly, this for the most part is a trick of Satan. Now hold your seat as I give you this truth. Unless and until you take your place as a lost sinner before the Lord God of heaven, hopeless, helpless, and hapless, put it down, my friend, you cannot be saved. Only the Holy Spirit can make you lost, and only Christ can redeem you. This puts man at the disposal of God where he is, and it puts man at the disposal of the Lord where he should be, instead of God at man's disposal, which is taught at this present hour. Some time ago, I spoke with an individual concerning the things of Christ, and the question came up concerning baptism. My question was this: which is the most important experience you ever had? Was it baptism or your conversion to Christ? The answer was rather slow in coming, proving the individual had missed something with regard to salvation. Now, as I've said before, I'm going to say again, if your salvation experience with the Lord Jesus Christ does not eclipse everything in this life, you need to go back and see if you have ever been truly converted. In redemption or salvation, the person learns of the reality of the love of God because my Lord becomes a suitor of the sinner. Most of what is called love at this hour is nothing but sentimentalism and temporary affection. The greater majority of so-called Christians do not know what the love of God is all about. Therefore, we shall try to set forth this great subject with the hope that the Lord will use it for His glory and your eternal redemption. First of all, let me give you, if I may, a good definition of the love of God. All of us know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, John 3:16, but very few, my friend, know, can define the love of God that is mentioned in that wonderful text. Let me quote it to you again, if I may. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that gracious? Now, let's take this verse apart for just a few moments, if we may, and let's look at the word love. For God so loved the world. Love, first of all, is a desire of God and the delight of God in the object loved. This desire and delight is to possess it and to bring it unto Himself, as well as to impart unto it all possible good, as well as having spiritual communion with the object loved. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we read this great truth. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Next, we see the love of God is that unbeginning, unchanging, unending kind of regard, a kind of regard of Christ, which He cherishes towards all who have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, predestinated in Him according to the good pleasure of God's divine will. This means that our Lord loved us before we were born, and He will love us throughout eternity. Now, some of you are going to jump up and down and say, well, I don't believe that. Well, my friend, if you're in that category, it means also that you don't believe what the Word of God says. This reality means that we were predestinated in love unto the adoption of children in Christ according to the good pleasure of His will and not according to the pleasure of man's will. Now, let me prove that, if I may. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and we'll see very clearly where it's set forth, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You see, the Scripture verifies absolutely what I have just told you a moment or two ago. As we examine the meaning of love, we are made to see that the term love falls into three definite categories. These categories are benevolence, or the desire and purpose of saving and doing us good. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? This kind of love is expressed at Christmas time as well as in the assistance of those who are in need. Our country has expressed this reality for years and years, but the problem is the beneficiaries of this benevolence have cast it back into our teeth because of the lack of appreciation, and that's still going on at this hour. The second category of love is a beneficial aspect whereby the object loved is bestowed with actual good. Again, we see it expressed in the assistance given to those who are the victims of a great catastrophe. Coupled with this, we also have the contemplative aspect of the delight and satisfaction one finds in beholding of the fruits and graces worked in the object loved. These three categories are the ingredients which compound the element of love. Now, when we come to the love of God, we find not only all three ingredients previously mentioned, but it even goes farther than that. Jehovah God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, loves a sinner with a benevolent kind of love, which has in it purpose the seeking out of the individual for the purpose of saving that individual and doing him eternal good. This love comes freely from the heart of God and causes the Lord Jesus Christ to first of all seek out the individual. In John 3:16 we read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 we read these words, there is none righteous, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 6, we read this with regard to the Lord. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thine own blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thine own blood, live. Now when I passed by thee, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away the blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Here we see the love of God extended to us while we were yet sinners. And in Ezekiel chapter 16, you have a glorious reality of God's salvation. Next we find, my Lord loved us while we were in sin. And my sinner friend, God loves you also. If you have been awakened to a sense of your need of the Lord God of heaven, it is proof that my Lord loves you and is showering at this present hour his benevolent love upon you. His purpose in the awakening is the awakening of your soul to a sense of need. It's the part of God's plan to bring you out of sin into fellowship with himself. How we praise the Lord for this reality. And if the Lord's dealing with your heart and making you miserable for him, you ought to praise the Lord for the awakening grace that is being extended to you at this very hour. When my Lord bestows his benevolent love upon a person, he follows with his beneficent love, which results in the actual doing good to the individual. The best a person can receive from the Lord is the salvation of God. Now I'm going to repeat that. The best a person can ever receive from the Lord is the salvation of God. By salvation we mean the actual forgiveness of sin, followed by the absolute reality of Christ being revealed to the heart of the individual. Now let me stop right here. Has God ever wrought this in your life, my radio friend? Oh, I hope and pray that he has, because as I've said before, we'll say again, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you with an everlasting salvation. Now, by salvation, we mean the actual forgiveness of sin, followed by the absolute reality of Christ being revealed to the heart of the individual. Salvation is not a hope-so, guess-so, wonder-so, surmise-so, think-so, or presume-so. Salvation is the revelation of Christ to the individual heart, resulting in a communion with the Lord, which is most blessed. The individual knows Christ, and Christ knows the individual. Now, what about you at this hour, my radio friend? Are you enjoying personal, perpetual communion with the Lord God of heaven? Or is the Lord Jesus Christ some individual that's far out there, and you read about him in the Bible, but in reality you don't understand him in your heart? If you're in this category, you need to find out if you have ever been converted. The next aspect of God's love is the contemplational love of God. This love is that which delights and finds satisfaction in beholding the fruits and the working of that grace within us. It is the purpose of God that the love he bestows upon us increase more and more in us. In other words, the love of God towards us causes a reciprocation within us which makes us love the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. Jehovah God finds no delight in the stagnation and stifling of a Christian. Instead, he desires us to be moved to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ, as well as being bringing forth the fruits of his grace. Now, my Lord desires that in us, and that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to exhibit the fruits of His grace as they are produced within us by God the Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles now and turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, where we read, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." These works are clearly defined for us in the Word of God. Take your Bibles now and turn back to Galatians chapter 5 and read with me verse 20 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance. Against such there is no law." Are these works produced in the life of the believer, or are they just left out on a limb, so to speak? No, they are produced in the life of the believer, and as they are, they prove the reality of the love of God being set forth in the life of the individual. Here is the amazing aspect of this reality, and we find it is set forth in the individual life. My Lord takes delight in the production of the graces given to the individual, and as a result of His great love showered upon the individual, without this there can be no growth in grace, nor can there be the production of sanctifying grace which gives evidence of God's work in the heart of the individual. Now what about you, my radio friend, at this hour? Has the Lord ever performed a work in you whereby you have become a different individual? Then I hope and pray that He has. Now last of all, we see that the love of God is a particular love. My Lord does not ask the individual if that individual would desire to be loved. Instead, my Lord picks the most unlikely and the most ignorant individual and then showers His love upon that person. The purpose is to confound the wise and bring to naught the things that people glory in at this hour. We see also that the love of God solely comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never come to know the love of God until you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Outside of Christ, there is no love of God for the individual. So the imperative for everyone is to settle once and for all your relationship to Christ. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you've never been lost, you've never been found. And my hope is that God will make you lost at this hour and then find you for eternity. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
When grace had taught me the plague of sin, the fear of God had laid hold of me. A low-down sinner without within, then mercy could say, "I died for thee." The tomb is empty. Faith cries today, "My Lord is risen, He's gone away, He's in the heavens, living for me, in Joseph's garden, there's no one there. The law condemned me, the curse was plain. I, as the sinner, the one to blame. Justice demanded the debt be paid. Then lips of mercy begin to say, 'The tomb is empty.' Faith cries today, 'My Lord is risen. He's gone away, He's in the heavens, living for me, in Joseph's garden, there's no one there. I once was Satan's, but not again. My Lord has found me, forgave my sin. Just look yonder on Calvary's tree. Who can condemn me? He died for me. The tomb is empty. Faith cries today. didn't know.